It's not a matter of if you'll need traffic and weather for your drive-in. It's when. Get it every 10 minutes on the 10s with Wills and Snyder on WTAM 1100. Cleveland's News Radio.
It's not even Halloween. Most of us are looking for a new bathing suit. But Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save, no matter the weather. You're telling me the retailers are starting to test some stuff for Black Friday? Is that right?
Yes, and what we're seeing today, Bill, is really different from in those so-called early Black Friday deals. Come and get it. It's not even October. No, not that. Those are garbage most of the time. What we're seeing today, which is what we see every year this time in the more than decade that I've been profiling Black Friday and holiday sales, retailers need to gauge right now how much they need of a particular item come Black Friday.
I got you. See what they need to know their inventory levels.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what do? They drop the exact same deals that you see on Black Friday and Cyber Monday on random days on websites to see how customers respond. And they're looking at a conversion factor. Obviously, I think I'm going to mess up their math a little bit today by exploiting this deal on the radio and TV. But every time they do this, I'm going to call them out so you can not wait in line and not succumb to a lot of the retail pressure at a later point.
So be aware. What sorts of things are they testing? Electronics for the most part or what?
It is electronics for the most part, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's the items that people really do line up for, the doorbuster, so to speak. So these items, and today is just it's actually a doorbuster. The item that I found, WTAM.com, keyword save, is the exact same deal. It doesn't change by a dollar. This is what you get on Black Friday, and this is what people line up for. And today's deal is a best audio brand in the world. I won't even mention them because most of you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Apple AirPod killer, the Bose alternative, the Beats alternative, drops from $160 to $49.
Wow.
We're talking free shipping, 240 hours of standby time, some of the best audio you will ever see, built-in hands-free mic, waterproof. Obviously, I've showered with these, submerged them in water. You can watch all those tests. But the important thing, Bill, is this is one of the top-rated products in the world from one of the top-rated brands in the world. And on our website, it is 70% off, all because of this testing.
Granite's watching out for you. Don't be fooled by the deals they're advertising. Go to WTAM.com, keyword save, and see a real deal with a couple of clicks. Good stuff. Matt, thanks much. Have a good day.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Indians played their final road game of the season in Seattle yesterday.
And in the motion, the payoff pitch. Swung on, blasted deep center field, on the run to Heredia, and he's out of room. This ball gets over the wall for a game-leading home run for Jose Ramirez. He's hit his 29th. To dead center, and the Indians are back on top, 3-2.
Tribe goes on to win it 4-2. Corey Kluber, 7 strong innings for his 18th win, as Jason Kipnis put it.
Cy Young. I think he's clearly the Cy Young. Doesn't take away anything from Chris Sale. I think he's clearly the number two and would be the Cy Young any other year than Corey Kluber's not pitching like this.
Kluber 15-2 since June 1st when he came off the DL. Indians have won 29 of 31. They go 53-28 on the road this year. That is a team record. A day off today. They're back in action. Final week of the regular season begins tomorrow night with the Twins, who are trying to lock up a wild card berth, and that'll be tomorrow night. Of course, you'll be able to hear it right here. What kind of day was it in the NFL? Well, the first score I got on the Browns via Twitter was the number of players on both teams who were on their knees before or during the national anthem, and then on the field, the Browns defense did not arrive until the second half, and it was too late when they did. Colts scored 28 in the first half behind Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Colts hung on, win it 31-28, leaving Hugh Jackson to say this.
We're tired of being short. We just got to keep working. We're not, nobody's down. Nobody's thrown in a towel or anything like that. If anything, I'm off because we want to win, deserve to win, but we got to do the things that help you win. We got to eliminate the penalties. We can't have a quarter where an offensive team all of a sudden makes, you know, a lot of score a lot of points. When we're down there, we got to finish drives. We got to catch the ball better. Got to make those plays. I mean, that's what pro teams do. You got to get better at it.
Yeah, it's all of the above, and it wasn't all on the defense. Browns receivers dropped at least 8 passes. There were 4 penalties on them. Browns now 0-3 will host the 0-3 Bengals this Sunday. Since he did put a scare into Green Bay, though, before losing in overtime, 27-24. Rough day for the AFC North. Steelers lost to the Bears, and the Ravens just got crushed by the Jaguars in England. If you missed it last night, the Redskins ripped the Raiders 27-10. Cavaliers begin training camp this week. We'll have complete Cavs coverage of Media Day beginning at noon today. We'll hear from LeBron, Coach Lou, Kevin Love, and others. Also last night, Dwayne Wade got a buyout of his contract by the Chicago Bulls. That makes him, in essence, a free agent, and the Cavs are believed to be his preferred choice, although the Thunder, Spurs, and Heat also reportedly have his interest. Home of the Cavaliers and the Central Division champion Indians, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Dispatch, this is a level one mass casualty incident.
People were just running and hiding and trying to get out, get away.
During the struggle, the gunman shot himself, probably not intentionally, in the left pectoral muscle, in the left chest.
He came running in front of the church from the parking lot, and he was shooting, and then he stand in the bullpen, and he started shooting more, and looking to his left, and that's when he came in the front, in the middle, and then this guy came and fighting with him and tackled him down.
He's the hero. He's the person that stopped this madness, and so we're very, very, very grateful.
And church usher at the door, who they're talking about, some of the sound from Sunday as people were just worshiping Sunday morning near Nashville and that shooting occurred. Joe Gomez joins us from Washington this morning on the story. Joe, good morning. What do we know about this?
Well, we know that the shooter apparently had gone to the church at least a year or 2 years ago. He's been identified as 25-year-old Emmanuel Sampson. And this happened right as church services were coming to an end yesterday morning about 11 o'clock. He had pulled up in his car and apparently got out, started immediately shooting, killed a woman who was walking to her vehicle, and then walked into the church, had 2 pistols with him, began shooting indiscriminately. And that's when one of the church ushers, who has been hailed as a hero, began struggling with him for these 2 pistols. And Sampson, the shooter, ultimately shot himself, and not too much longer afterwards, the police arrived and they arrested him and took him away.
1 killed, 8 injured, and federal agents opening a civil rights investigation into this thing that played out yesterday morning, right?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, it sounds like at least 2 of the people that were injured are in critical condition, and the FBI, Department of Justice, opening a civil rights investigation that could be looking at whether or not this was motivated by any kind of hatred for a particular religion or maybe even a particular race. It sounds like this church, the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ, is one that where a lot of elderly members attend. So, you know, this could have really potentially been a bad shooting because you had a number of folks who simply could not leave the church. Given their advanced age, I think one or two of them were in walkers even, and somebody who had arrived, one of the witnesses had reported just seeing somebody slumped over in a walker with blood coming out. That was just a horrific image to imagine, but it really could have been a bigger tragedy if not for the actions of that usher at that church.
Joe Gomez on it from Washington this morning. Joe, thanks.
Thanks.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Your money investments safe places. Jordan Goodman joins me at MoneyAnswers.com. I say safe, Jordan. I mean every day the headlines, the stories, the world seems to be at a crisis. Financial markets aren't sure, and I've just got some money I want to put somewhere safely. Right.
That's right. So particularly the whole North Korean situation. I mean, every time we squeeze Kim more, he sends more rockets out. It's just been crazy.
Right, right.
And it makes people very, very nervous as to what's going to happen there. We hope we don't have war, but if we do, it's not discounted in the markets right now. So let me give you 3 what I call safe haven investments that would do okay in that kind of environment.
All right.
First one's gold, and gold's gone up a lot, well over $1,300 an ounce. You can either buy physical gold or gold coins or gold bars or the gold so-called exchange-traded fund ETF, which is GLD, or the gold mining shares, which is GDX. Those do very well in this kind of uncertain time, and I think gold's going to go higher. That would be the first one. The second would be Treasury bonds. And Treasury bond yields have come down to about 2% on the 10-year Treasury. Again, people want something safe. And getting 2% and keep your principal safe is something people like in this environment. So in this, I think that's going to continue to happen. If there are more missiles flying, we could go below 2%, 1.9, okay. As crazy as that may seem. That's all right. How low rates have gone on treasuries. And the third one are domestic commercial mortgage bridge loans, because there you get a 6% yield over 1 year very safely. And they're loaning money to 1 year projects for people renovating or improving commercial projects of one kind or another. A website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. I know a lot of your listeners have done that in the past. So instead of having your money in the bank earning zero, here's a way of getting 6% really quite safely.
Jordan Goodman at MoneyAnswers.com. All good tips. You can also follow up, send him an email. He's good about getting back with you as well through MoneyAnswers.com. Jordan Goodman. Jordan, thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills, Money, and we turned to our buddy Kevin Myroff at NCA Financial Planners. Topic this morning, though, credit accounts, closing unused credit cards. Sounds like a good idea. I mean, I got the card paid off. I don't want to go in debt again. Kevin with us this morning, though, about doing that. You may think it's a good thing, but also could affect your credit score. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Bill.
All right, a couple things about this. Credit accounts that you may consider closing. First, what if indeed you're looking at accounts, what ones might you think about closing?
Right, and so one of the things that you have to think about is, and people don't realize the connection between your credit score and the credit card, is there's two things. One is credit utilization ratio. That is the credit limit you have. You have a $10,000 line of credit on your credit card, and the difference between that and what your actual balance is, you owe $1,500. The bigger your utilization, the more room you have, the better off you are. So if you cancel a credit card with a $30,000 line of credit that you have no balance on, that could hurt your score. And the second thing is that your credit history starts with your oldest card. The second you get rid of your oldest card, then your credit history gets shorter. The longer your credit history, the better your score. So the first thing you want to do is you want to cancel a card that has an annual fee that you don't use at all, as long as it's not your oldest credit card.
Okay, that makes sense. So as far as age, then, if I go through the cards, and we're including, I guess, store cards. If you signed up for a special at a store, and you now got a store credit card too, if that's one of my newer cards, look at that to cancel?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially if it has an annual fee attached to it.
Okay. Okay. Second line of looking at it would be a newer card, but also without an annual fee, huh?
Yep. Either with or without an annual fee. If it's a newer card, it'll affect you less if you get rid of that. Now, keep in mind, if you get rid of a credit card and then get another one, and then you get your utilization back, it won't take more than a few months for you to get your credit score back where it was.
Kevin Myroff with me at NCA Financial Planners, talking about the idea of closing those credit cards, but yet you don't want to affect your credit score. Seems kind of odd, but you got to work through this. Okay, another card here to look at then, the card with unfavorable terms, Kevin?
Yeah, your 24% interest card that you have a $2,000 balance on. It'll take you forever to pay that off. If you have another card you could transfer that to that may have a 12% or 5% or a 0% interest rate, switch it to those and get rid of that high interest rate unfavorable term card.
All right, good point. Now, the credit account that you should not cancel, is there one?
Yes, it's your oldest card. You know, unless it has horribly unfavorable terms and a very high fee, you got to bite the bullet and build your credit back up. But try to keep your oldest credit card in line and your one with your highest amount of credit that they allow you to use.
Interesting. So bottom line here, canceling credit amounts and the accounts isn't ideal from the credit utilization, but you got to look at the length of time you've had the card, and that's how they score you.
Both of those things come into play. Exactly right,
interesting.
Bill.
All right. Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners, thinking about cutting up a few credit cards. Think carefully on the ones you cut up as far as affecting your credit score. Good info. Kevin, thanks, pal.
You bet. Have a great week, everybody.
Right. Morning, T.
Hello, Mr. Will.
In many ways, I couldn't wait for the game to start yesterday because of all the noise around the National Football League. Let me ask you first, any tension or, hey, look at what they're doing in the media area before the game on Sunday?
I wouldn't say tension. People were just, like, doing a list of names. Who's kneeling? Who's standing? Who's doing what? That's because now it becomes like it's a taking attendance thing.
Great point. Yeah, who's doing
what? Seriously, that's what they're doing. They're taking pictures. who's down, who's up, so we can do this because our bosses want to know who's up and who's down. And so there you go. I mean, it sounded to me like some of these teams met a lot more before the game and what they were going to do than going over their game plans. I'm not saying that's true of the Browns, but yeah, the Steelers, I guess, had some really long meeting to decide not to go out, and then one of their players did. And, there you go.
I did tweet in the first half the Browns' defense should no longer take a knee and go out and play because it was kind of getting out of hand there in the first half, Mike Snyder, you know?
Yeah, it was just brutal, Terry. That's where they lost the game.
Tells what I know. I'm the one that told you their defense was getting better and everything else, and I looked up with 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. They gave up 28 points. You know, the angel must have fallen from grace. Remember, the angel's supposed to be back there preventing those long passes, and it was discouraging. I mean, basically, the cult of one playmaker, T.Y. Hilton, and this looked to me like they barely covered him. They stayed about 15 yards off him. He just ran short patterns or long patterns or medium patterns. Whatever pattern he ran, he was wide open. 145 yards receiving at the half. How about that?
It was, yeah, and it's not wasn't Andrew Luck thrown to him. Jacoby Brissett, no. And the Browns do come back a bit. But again, even on the other side, let's not absolve the receiving corps. They made some plays, also just too many drops, Terry, penalties, all the things it takes to lose, didn't they commit yesterday?
Maybe it's happened before at a game I've been at, but I've never seen receivers flag for four pass interference penalties. Four. And they had sort of an unofficial count in the press box. We went from counting, you know, we'd start counting drops during the game. We had them with seven. So, you know, they were a problem. And I will say, while it was sort of, you know, became a little close in the second half, just like Baltimore played more conservatively once they had the lead, so did Indiana. In Indianapolis in that second half. You know, the other thing, Mike, is I didn't know a whole lot about Jacoby Brissett other than he's big, he could run, he's athletic, and he played in New England. Apparently that second part elevated the Browns too because I know one thing, if I've got a big quarterback who could move near the goal line, I may give him a chance to score. And he did that twice against the Browns and was barely touched.
Not a good week for Greg Williams. Those guys were not ready for that. You're absolutely right. That's a great point. Because that was their best way to get in. And they didn't follow that. All right, they get the winless Bengals on Sunday. Couple of quick things, Terry, while we have you with us in other sports. Dwayne Wade, a possibility for the Cavs. He's got bought out last night. What are your thoughts about what he could mean to the Cavs if they acquired him?
Well, first of all, he interests me a lot more than Carmelo Anthony does, because he's played with, LeBron before. They won titles together. It's like getting Derrick Rose on those minimum contracts. You'd love to have him, and just add more depth. So that would be one thing. And, just my other thought is, just look at where all the players moved this summer. It's shocking. I mean, everybody knew Oklahoma City would be opening the season this year with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook, right?
Everyone had that back in July. Finally, the Tribe back home, final week of the season. What a! I don't even know if it's a run. As Terry Francona said, Kluber's just that good. He's the Cy Young winner, should be, shouldn't he?
2.2 ERA. Was this 1968? You know, back when we were kids, and that was, you know, when people had. Well, there's only one 300 hitter and everything. Remember, he's doing that in an era of home run records being broken, you know, for teams and around the whole all baseball. Yes, the answer is he's that good. Because think about this. He followed up that postseason run, where he was remarkable, with this regular season, where he had a little bit of a back problem early in the year. I mean, he would have won 20 games easily. I think he missed almost a month worth of starts. And, you know, the Indians are being very careful with that. This is a guy they got for Jake Westbrook, who was in the end of his contract. It's just phenomenal.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. Some great columns and post-game scribbles from yesterday's Browns game. Terry, thanks much.
Take care, guys.
Well, you know, it was electric. People didn't know exactly how folks would react. But, of course, it was an evening game. And there was all during Sunday, there had been so many images flashed across all of our screens. So we had a pretty much a sense of what to expect. But I think the president has done two things here. In one sense, I think he's brought this whole issue up to distract attention from a week in which he's likely to suffer two major defeats, the health care revision bill likely again to go down to defeat. He strongly supported an incumbent Republican senator in a hard-fought primary in Alabama. his candidate is likely to lose tomorrow. But the other issue here, Bill, is a much more serious one. I'm always very hesitant to bring up the subject of race, but you just cannot avoid it. Here's in Alabama, a white president speaking to an almost entirely white crowd, whipping up sentiment against players in a league that is 70% black. And same with the NBA, and not just the NFL. And there's a long history here of this president doing this, whether it's back to the birther movement that he was a strong supporter of during the Obama presidency, whether it was his comments after Charlottesville. This is one more example of the president speaking to his base and using this issue to try to stir up support at a time when his political fortunes are clearly slipping.
LeBron James also here in Cleveland getting involved with the Steph Curry tweet over the weekend calling the president a bum. I get what you're saying, but on the other hand, you know, at some point, I mean, there's respect for the flag and the country. Isn't that something to say as well?
Yes, absolutely, Bill. But what the president changed the subject in a way that didn't work for him. The fact is that Colin Kaepernick, the famous San Francisco quarterback who started this protest by kneeling during the national anthem in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, he didn't attract a lot of support. In fact, a lot of people disagreed with him. But when the president said that people who copied Kaepernick should be fired, he changed the question from "Do you agree with what Kaepernick says?" to "Do you agree with Kaepernick's right to say what he said?"
Right.
And that's what happened. That's why there was such a wave of solidarity, including some of the president's strongest supporters. Robert Crafty, owner of the New England Patriots, gave $1 million to the inaugural committee. He gave the president the Super Bowl ring. He issued a statement saying he was deeply disappointed in what the president said, not because he agreed with Colin Kaepernick, but because he wanted to support his own players and their right to express their views. And that's the mistake the president made. He changed the subject. He changed it to one that was largely unpopular, to an idea where almost every body in the league could say, wait, even if I disagree with what they're saying, I have to support their right to say it.
You make a great point, too, as you said at the beginning. Look, the media is going to be all over on this Alabama race as well as this health care thing, so there could be a couple of negative stories as well this week. He was trying to get out in front of. Hey, you know, finally, there is some irony. When you see the owner of the Redskins, Daniel Snyder, on the field, arm-in-arm with his players, and the controversy there's been over his franchise and the Redskin logo over the years, but for everybody to be cheering, I thought there was some irony in that.
Huge irony. Dan Snyder is one of the least popular people in Washington.
Exactly.
And has been for years. I mean, for the president to somehow make Dan Snyder into a sympathetic figure is a feat of political prestidigitation that really is remarkable.
Steve Roberts, take on the news. Good point. Steve, thanks. Have a good week.
Okay, pal.
Off day today, but Twins start a series tomorrow night. Total Tribe coverage. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder catching up with Tom Hamilton. His take on the Indians road trip and look ahead, brought to you by Falls Motor City on News Radio WTAM 1100. Hammy checking in from Seattle. Let's talk pitching first. Indians with the win Sunday. Did Corey Kluber look up to the Cy Young Award yesterday with that performance or not, Hammy? Huh?
Well, good morning, guys. And yeah, Bill, it's amazing, isn't it? Another club record for this ball club as they win their 53rd game on the road, something they've never done before. It just seems like each and every day you're opening up the record books, and the Indians seem to be setting another record, and they did it again yesterday with that win in Seattle. And to your point, Corey Kluber was tremendous, and boy, it's hard, as good as Chris Sale has been, to imagine that Corey Kluber's not going to win his second Cy Young, because there's been nobody better down the stretch than Corey Kluber, and pitching games in that winning streak and all of that. He's finished stronger than Sale. So, obviously, we're prejudiced, but he was superb again yesterday.
And, Tom, no question, the Indians really have done it all throughout this amazing run. They've been scoring plenty of runs, but the pitching staff really has been amazing, hasn't it?
Mike, that has been the key. I mean, how many of those guys, the starters, were giving you seven innings each and every day, not only in the 22-game winning streak, but when you look over the last month from August 24th to September 24th, that 1 month period, the club is 29-2, And it's because of the dominant starting pitching. Not only Corey Kluber, but all of those guys giving the Indians the deepest rotation in baseball.
29-2, amazing. Tom, as far as we get close now to the playoffs, what's the latest you're hearing as far as how Tito's lined up the pitching?
Yeah, Mike, they are going to go, as we mentioned, with that four-man rotation in the playoffs. Mike Clevinger's obviously going to be working out of the bullpen. You know, I don't think it's too hard to figure that that fourth guy would be Josh Tomlin based on what he did a year ago. Now, no one is saying anything yet, but Josh will start on Tuesday night, and he would certainly seem to be the front runner for that fourth spot as you go with that four-man rotation in the division series. And you know, I thought it was interesting yesterday on the pregame show, Terry Francona didn't announce that Corey Kluber would be the game one starter. And he said there's ways you can look at that because whoever starts game two could come back and start game five on their normal 4 days rest, meaning whoever started game one could be used out of the bullpen the rest of the series. So that's one way to look at it. Will it be Corey Kluber in game one, or would it be somebody else that you could then use out of the bullpen the rest of the playoffs? If you started Corey Kluber in game two, he could come back and pitch game five if needed in the division series. So, you know, all of that's going to be decided this week, as well as, you know, can Brandon Guyer, Lonnie Chisenhall, and an outside chance that Michael Brantley be healthy come time for the playoffs. That's what this upcoming week is all about.
Tom Hamilton's take on the Tribe 4-2 win. Mike Snyder, bottom line, these are good problems to have. Right?
These are great. Yeah,
who's going to start? These are good problems.
Yeah, this is the way you let it set up right now.
Update
absolutely.
Today, Twins tomorrow night. Talking about Jennifer Lopez, $1 million, right?
She's $1 million, hurricane relief. Yeah, good for her.
Let's talk about that. Some more entertainment news. Matt Wolf is in. Kingsman, The Golden Circle came in number one, but it was number two over the weekend. Over $300 million it has made. And Jennifer Lopez, Matt Wolf, stepping up big time, right?
Yeah, you know, Puerto Rico absolutely devastated by Hurricane Maria. It is going to be a long, long road for recovery down there. And there are strong ties in the Puerto Rican community here in New York, and personally with the Lopez family, too. Now, yesterday, New York Governor Cuomo here, and Jennifer Lopez announced that she's donating $1 million from the proceeds of her show in Vegas to aid hurricane relief in Puerto Rico and in the overall Caribbean area. Also announcing New York Yankees, too, contributing an undisclosed amount because, you know, the A-Rod connection and everything else, so they're doing their part. Mark Anthony, her ex-husband, in on this. Also Mark Cuban. And basically sources are telling us that basically J-Lo and A-Rod are picking up the phone left and right and saying, okay, come on, open up the wallets, let's go. Time to help our brothers and sisters down there in PR.
It's hard to turn down a phone call from them. Yeah.
Nope.
We got a Star Trek story, Discovery. How am I going to watch this, though?
Okay, here's the thing. The new Star Trek Discovery TV series, first new Star Trek TV series in 12 years, debuted last night, episode one on CBS, and it was pretty good. I'm kind of a little bit of a Trekker myself. All right. You know, and I enjoyed it and everything, but then, you know, it leaves out a little bit of a cliffhanger, and I'm like, oh, geez, now it's time to pay up on CBS's all-access streaming service. Now, the big thing here is, Bill, is that the rules of television, as you know, are changing.
Right.
You have so many services now, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Roku, Sling, HBO Go, Disney soon, our parent company here at ABC News, they're going to be launching their own streaming service. So, right now, it's very fragmented here, and they're banking on hardcore, you know, Trekkers or entertainment geeks or whatever like myself to pony up $6 a month to watch the rest of Star Trek Discovery along with access to CBS's entire library of shows. And that's just not current shows either. You want to watch an old episode of Perry Mason? It's there. You want to watch I Love Lucy episode reruns? It's there. Brady Bunch? We got it for you. So they're going to be creating new programming down the line. And it's to help with the overall budget, too. I mean, $8 million per episode for Star Trek Discovery. They're putting in a lot on this, and they're going to need some money to help foot the bill. But I'll be really curious to see if they'll flock in the coming weeks to go check this out.
Well, some people thought we'd never pay to fly a bag on an airline, and look what happened there.
Well,
so we'll see where it goes.
That's a great point. Yeah. You know, that's a great point. Who wants to download music? What is that? You know, remember when Napster first came along? Oh, my God.
Right.
It changed the industry. Now, we've been seeing this with television now for the last couple of years. I mean, Netflix. Who would have thought? You know, like, what do I want to pay $9.99 a month for? And I love it, but it's so, so fragmented now. But as you see people start to move away from these big jumbo TV packages,
right,
You know, they don't want to pay Verizon or Cablevision all that money. You know, they want to create their own packages. So you have Netflix, you have Hulu, and maybe you have CBS All Access. And with your Sling Box, you might be all set.
All about the content. All right, exactly. Matt Wolf, Entertainment News of the Morning. Thanks, pal.
We'll talk to you soon.